Good morning. Kathy called me this week and left me a message, Kathy Kelly, and asked me to speak this morning on how I use God at work, in our workplace. And on this side, I was saying no, no, no. Then on the other side, there was a voice saying yes, yes, yes. I told Emmy that story, and she said, "What's wrong? You can't tell the preacher no?" I said, "No, it's not the preacher. It's the Lord. You know, when the Lord talks to you, it's time for you to come in and, you know, just say how he's working in your life." I began my coaching career at Brewer Middle School, and one day we was preparing for a ball game, and one of my players, Toot, I don't mind using her name, she doesn't mind, she said, Coach, I finally got it. And I thought, oh, she's got the play or something to do with basketball. And she said, "I learned the Lord's Prayer." Well, I think that was the first time that God was working in my life, telling me that there's more to coaching than just wins and losses. So for the last 5 years, we have been really fortunate at Greenwood High School to have a great FCA program. It's a fellowship of Christian athletes. A lot of athletes are involved, but you don't have to be an athlete to be involved. They meet every Thursday morning. They come to school early at 7:45 by choice, and they meet, and they have Bible study and praise time. We think this is a good support group, and again, it's a volunteer basis. Also, once a year, I wrote John into going with us, but we take about 50 or 60 young people to the beach to a retreat. And there's about 700 young people there from all over South Carolina, and you will be amazed at their worship and praise time. And they're so excited about Christ, and they're not embarrassed, or, you know, even as adults, sometimes we have a hard time showing our faith because we're afraid how people are going to react to it. But it is a great weekend. And something really special happened last year that has come into this year. One of our ninth graders was saved at the beach at the rally. And she came back this year and started a female Bible study class at the high school. They meet every Friday morning before school. It's all student-oriented, you know. And her first time was this Friday, and they had 13 young ladies to attend. So that's amazing. And lastly, our basketball team, which I coach basketball at Greenwood High, we're involved in FCA. And due to having FCA, if you don't realize, FCA is the only way we're able to have Christ in our schools. And we do want to try to keep that door open. But the basketball team is able to have Bible study. We have devotions. We have a prayer board in our team room. And the young ladies are able to put anybody up there that they are concerned with. Or we also put our joys on that board, too. We don't want to just go to Christ in sorrows, but we also want to go to him in praise time. And I honestly believe if Christ wasn't a part of that team and was not in that room, those girls wouldn't feel comfortable sharing those things with each other. And I want to close in just a quick story. Last Sunday, John and I was at home, and I received an email, and it was a poem from one of my ball players. And I'm not going to read the poem to you, but I just want to give you a few lines from the poem. And some background first. She lost her grandmother last year, who was her primary caregiver. And now she lives with her mom, who is a heavy drug user. So the poem came to me, and I was concerned, and it was titled, "Am I Wrong?" And I just want to read you three lines from her poem. It says, "Am I wrong for wanting my grandmother's love? Am I wrong for ignoring she's gone? Am I wrong for wanting to be loved? Am I wrong for not wanting him?" She has her daddy's in parentheses, "call me those names." So we talked about this for 2 days. And on Tuesday, she said, "Miss Thompson, can I share this with the basketball team?" So needless to say, she read the whole team to the whole poem to the basketball team, and there wasn't a dry eye in the room. And so I asked her today, could I use her name, and she said, "Fine." I said, "Maya, why did you want to read this poem to the basketball team?" And she said, "Because these are my sisters, and I know they love me, and they will not judge me." And she said, "Also, I feel like some of them are going through some of the same things I'm going through, and it may help them." I again believe if Christ was not involved in that team and in that place, those girls would not feel that comfort with each other. And I just want to leave you with this thought. Is, you know, guys, this is what it's all about, loving God and being able to love and support others through his love. Thank you.
Well, I'm not quite as good a speaker as Susan. I have not spoken in church in front of people since I got married, and all I had to say then was, I do. I want to thank the choir for singing Amazing Grace this morning, and I want to thank Dick Blosser for his beautiful arrangement during the prelude, because people who know me know that Amazing Grace is not only my favorite hymn, but my favorite song. The first three verses of that hymn tell the story of my life. Despite my mother's best efforts, I grew up without any sense of God, without any beliefs. I lived most of my life in a very sinful and destructive way. And despite that, at age 33, February 17th, 1993, I reached such a point of desperation that I surrendered my life to God, and it changed. During the children's time, all those different occupations, I had done about half of those. I had not finished college. I had not really ever succeeded at anything in my life. And when I surrendered to God, things changed. God changed me. My life changed. I became employed. I worked as an accountant. I met my wife, Rhonda, who many of you know is the greatest blessing of my life. I think any man's greatest blessing is the opportunity to be married to a godly woman. I've learned more about love from Rhonda than I've learned from anyone else in my whole life. We'd been married less than a year when I lost my job, and I had no education, and we didn't really know what direction to go because we wanted to start a family, and I wasn't very employable. And Rhonda and I had a conversation one night in the parking lot of a barbecue restaurant, and she said, I just want you to do what you feel called to do. And I said, well, you know, God has been so good to me that I would give anything to be able to go to medical school and try to give back. And Rhonda said the words that are famous in our family, if it's God's will, the doors will open. And they did open to me. And I'm probably a very unlikely candidate to have gone to medical school and completed it and finished a residency and practiced medicine. But God has carried me and my family through that. We've had two beautiful children, Skylar and Cecilia, who are without a doubt the joys of my life. We had a lot of struggles during my medical training. I was in my 40s. I was tired all the time. Rhonda held our family together. She worked hard. She carried the load. In my early years of practice, she continued to do that. When I went to medical school, I had a vision of how I wanted to practice. I felt called to practice primary care and to be people's doctor and to see them in good times and bad times and be there for them. And throughout the course of my brief practicing career, that hasn't really worked out for me. And it has led to times of confusion and feelings of questioning what is it God is leading me to do. And throughout my life, I have seen where when a door closes, God opens a window. And when things were changing for me, God gave me other opportunities. And today, I'm just grateful to be employed in today's world. I mean, I have a good job. I'm able to provide for my family in a way I never dreamed I would be able to. I'm able to spend my day trying to help other people and make a difference in their lives, and I can't imagine a better occupation for me. When I'm down, when I'm in despair, when I'm feeling sorry for myself, you know, I get the opportunity to go into someone's room who's really hurting. And I recognize that, you know, my problems are not nearly as big as I think they are. God has been very good to me. It's a daily challenge for me to remember that and to recognize it. But I work very hard to do that. A couple things that I wanted to share is that as I look back over my life, I've had a lot of days where I thought, you know, I'm really trying to do God's will, but things just don't seem to be working out. And in spite of a lot of days thinking that, when I look back at the bigger picture, I see that my life has been working out just beautifully, far better than I could have ever dreamed. And it's a real lesson to me that I really can't see the big picture. You know, I live today on faith that what I'm doing is what God is calling me to do, and I ask Him to lead me and guide me each morning, and I believe that that's what He's doing. I don't believe in magic. I don't think God reaches down and manipulates events in my life for my best interest. But I do believe that God, when I surrender my heart to Him, changes me. He changes my mind, He changes my spirit, and He makes me capable of succeeding in life. And I'm grateful for that. The other thing that I wanted to say is that when I think about my circumstances and I'm not satisfied with my circumstances, I feel sometimes despair. But when I concentrate on my relationship with God and I focus on what can I do to be God's person today, my circumstances don't matter and I have a good day. And that's something that I try to practice each day, sometimes well, sometimes not so well. The last thing that I wanted to share is just a prayer that I start with every day. And I'll try not to stumble because I'm still pretty nervous. After this much time, usually I've calmed down. But each day, I ask God, I say, God, I offer myself to You to do with me as You will, to build with me and work through me to help other people. Please release me from the horrible bondage of self so that I may better do Your will. Please direct my thoughts and actions so that I may be an example of Your Spirit and Your life. I also want to publicly thank the people in this church. In the 5 years we've been here, your fellowship has embraced us and welcomed us here. When I changed jobs to Spartanburg and we were not able to move because our house wouldn't sell, it was another example of not really understanding why things weren't working out. But I stand here today grateful that they've worked out the way they have, because this church is the reason we're so grateful to be living in Greenwood. And I just want to thank everyone for that. And I want to thank God for the wonderful life He's given me. And Larry told me to keep it to 45 minutes, so... Actually, that's all. Four or five. Okay. That's all. Thank you very much.
And I want you to know that it's a joy to be your pastor, and the joy to be a pastor of individuals like these who have shared with you this morning. I was looking at a percentage chart the other day and how many folks come to church because a friend invites them, and it's far, far superior than what any preacher has to do with attendance at church. So I encourage you, as we have listened to these share this morning, and think about all the individuals that they come in contact with during the week, and multiply that by all the individuals that are here, and think about the opportunities that we all have to share the good news of Christ with those we come in contact with. May the Lord bless you in your occupation and whatever areas that you are involved in, and lead you in the path of somebody that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and may they hear that good news through you.